الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Just before we start, to complete yesterday's talk that we started, and besides that, a complaint has come that brothers are using the cell phone excessively all the time. This should be avoided. Coming year, one of the objects which we say we come for is i'tikaf, and i'tikaf means seclusion. And we say we have come here for our islah, and for islah also, seclusion is one of the foremost requirements, that you must just be on your own, in your own world. Phoning home to the family, that's quite in order. Make a short call, everything all right, etc., that's quite in order. Or any other important work, no problem. But just to be all the time on the cell phone. And this also eventually leads to haram things also. A person will start phoning and all haram things on the phone. And all the other things on the phone, games, etc., all looking at videos and all that, even which are permissible, avoid it. Concentrate on your islah, on your tilawat. And cut down, make it like compulsory on you. Only 5 minutes. 5 minutes is also too much. 2 minutes just to phone home, ask everything is all right, etc. That's quite in order. But this excessive use of the phone, it shouldn't be so. Also, the food that is served, mashallah, many brothers, Allah opens their hearts, they donate. And we have, alhamdulillah, I don't think any shortage whatsoever. But there mustn't be abuse of it also. And there mustn't be wastage of it also. How much you want to eat, according to your appetite, no problem. Nobody will stop you. Have your, though Ramzan means to eat less, but you want to eat your fill, no problem. But wastage shouldn't be there. Dishing out too much and then leaving it over. The usage of other things which are there, butter, honey, use it, it's there for use, it's there to eat, but don't waste. Allah does not like wastage at all. And when you do waste, just think a little, how many people can't see this kind of food? Yeah, we are wasting it, and how many people can't see it? And then all what is left over has to go in the dustbin. What a sad case. When there are millions of people dying of hunger, and here we are throwing it down in the dustbin. That should not be the case. What kind of islah are we making then? And what kind of i'tikaf we came in from then? Did we come here for our islah or for i'tikaf, or we came here to do all this haram things of dunya? All that has a great effect on every aspect of a person's life. Again, let me make it clear, nobody is stopping anyone. The food is there to eat. Enjoy it, eat it, but don't waste. That is totally unacceptable. And the cell phone usage also, use it, and use it as a ni'mat. And don't make it a nikmat. Nikmat is azab. Use it as a phone in order to be to contact necessary, and that is quite in order. But all the other things, cut it out, inshallah. Then yesterday we ended that, the talk came on to that point about one's dressing and simplicity in general. And this was one incident that one person, alim, who I can speak to and I speak to, so I advised him because I saw that he's got a habit of being very dressy. And though everything according to Shariat, kurta, etc., according to Sunnah, but very dressy in that also. The scarf must match also. The amama must be worn in style also. Socks must match also. Lot of people have got this. And in my advice to him, I made the basis of another very old friend of mine who perhaps easily know for more than 30 years or even more, and who was also very, very dressy and Allah had given him good looks also, and he is very dressy also. So over 30 years that I know, I made this the basis and said that dressing, being very dressy and smart and to be fashionable and to be up to date, it comes with its baggage also. And it's not everyone who can digest it also. So that is that that person, today he's facing problems, he's got, he himself, quite an elderly person now, after so 30 years, and he wanted to marry a young girl. Girls get influenced also, and then she declared her love for him, and that should have ruined his marriage. He tried very hard, discussing it with many people, but hopefully it didn't work out and he did not marry. Then domestic problems in the house, financial problems. Really, I told this other anima I was advising, I think a person like that will even contemplate suicide. The problems that he has got, such problems. And this comes from all that just being outwardly, you want to be very smart and you want to be dressy. You face afterwards very serious problems. So therefore, then there were one person, Anim, also a very good Anim, and the son of a very great Anim. He came to Hazrat, used to visit Hazrat in Karachi regularly. Once when he came, Hazrat saw that he's like Urdu, they say that very like a hobo he was dressed. Not dressed well at all. Hazrat got a shock that you dress so immaculately and so nicely. So what happened to you? He said that I was in Haram of Makkah, and my normal dressing like that, and looks also exceptionally good. An Egyptian woman looked at him and fainted. He says, from that I say I'm the cause of fitna like this, so I won't dress. This is that what is, if the inside is made to wear clothes, as the tahdith and ni'mat, Allah gave you nice clothes to wear, no problem. But if it's causing fitna and your inside is made, you won't still carry on. Oh, just see the woman are fainting for me. And that person will immediately, he changed his dressing completely and he wore like torn and tattered clothes and made himself look not nice at all. And also remember, your marriage is also on the rocks if this happens. Woman will get inclined to you, and you're not a piece of stone and you're not a piece of rock. You will also get inclined, you will have endless problems. So therefore, don't try and be too dressy and too smart. And this again, a person himself will say that I'm just being neat and tidy. Where do you draw the line? And the minute you wear clothes and you feel you're smart, the first thing it comes in the hadith, you fall in the eyes of Allah. You start sinking in the ground by Allah Ta'ala, that you're thinking you are smart. And if you, that is your thinking, you might not be smart also. Especially our young women today, or even bigger women, they wear all these burqas of theirs and different colors, all white and some brown and some purple, and they, in their eyes, they are thinking they look very beautiful. Like those women who wear this eyelash, on the eyes they put? Eyeshadow, mascara. Muhammad knows everything properly. this eyeshadows, that funny colors, that bright colors, purple, red, and sometimes their own complexion also, and it doesn't agree. It looks so ugly, but in their eyes they are smart. They are beautiful. So sometimes a person is fooled. He thinks I'm very handsome, I'm very beautiful, and my dressing. But he's making a fool out of himself. People are laughing at him the way he's dressing. And simplicity is the greatest beauty. And where there is sincerity, and where there is originality, there is simplicity in that. And where you want to imitate, and you want to follow other people, then you follow all that and you make a monkey out of yourself in your dressing. All this tight clothes, etc. That's not our subject, clothing at the moment, but all this tight clothing, etc. So unhealthy. High heels for women. So unhealthy. So unnatural also. But just fashion. Just to be smart. And today men also wearing high heels. Heels which are high. So all these things are very, very harmful for a person. And so a person thinks I'm smart and he falls from the eyes of Allah. If he is smart, then all this fitna, whether he has got the taqwa that he can stay away from all this. Otherwise, just one compliment of a woman, or just that smile of hers, just her tune, and it makes a man go mad. It comes in the Hadith Sharif, women are half-minded, but they are, and men are full-minded. And scientifically, it has been now seen, under whatever x-ray they call it or whatever, the wiring of the brain. Brain also got wiring. Men's brains are fully wired. The picture shows it clearly. And women's brains are only half wired. And had Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said 1400 years ago, without any scanning machine or any MRI or anything, that women, they have got half brains. Anyway, they are half brain, but they swipe the men off their feet. The full brain men completely forget who they are. You forget you are Hazrat and you are Maulana and you are Hafizab and you are Hajisab and all that. And your dressing also you forget. I got kurta on, I got tupi, I got a full beard. And you forget that when just that sweet words of a woman. Just on the phone, the way they speak. And some women actually make their voices even more melodious. Men get completely taken aback with this. So therefore, these things are very, and worse than this are those ulama also who come on YouTube with their photos on, and you don't go on to YouTube and dress shabbily. Then you make extra effort that you must be dressing smart and that. Firstly, you have already fallen from the eyes of Allah, according to Hadith. Now, and some of us, we are not yet on YouTube. And we are not being videoed, but we are already like acting. We are just ready. Like an actor, he practices first. Then he's being filmed. And then he's being videoed. The way we sit and sit also with style. We eat also with style. Everything is in style. All is left just for a video to be made. The acting is complete already. You have to repeat that you're acting so much and you have done it so perfectly. Now you just have to be videoed or filmed. Your dressing also, your eating also, your sitting style. Everything is just style. Even people practice even in their bayan, hand actions, etc. Especially in the videos, YouTube and that. You see these people, they all too much of style. So this is a thing a person must avoid completely. Otherwise, in your young days, it might seem okay. But when you reach your old age, like this alim, he's in front of my eyes. What is happening in his house? What is happening to him? Really, I would think any person will even contemplate suicide in that condition. So therefore, be very careful of these things. And if you live just simply, you don't draw attention. So all this started, I think, from where Hadraji Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullahi said that when people's fingers are pointed to you, you are in danger now. Either for wrong things they point or even for right things. There's the great man. That's the man. You are in great danger when you reach that. You're on very slippery ground. And that was like Imam, old lady told, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi told her, on a rainy day, ground was slippery, muddy. He said, be careful, old lady, you might slip and fall. She said, if I slip and fall, it's my problem. You be more careful. If you slip, the whole ummah is going to slip. So especially for the ulama, they must be more careful. And people who are prominent people must be much more careful. All these things are very, 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 very detrimental to one's life in this world. And for his akhirat, it can destroy his akhirat. And safety, you are in safe zone. If you're just ordinary and you're not so special, you don't draw attention. And if your intention is to draw attention, that is even worse. If by the way you talk and the things you say and how you act and your niyat is to draw, this is without niyat if you're drawing attention. How much worse won't it be if your intention is to impress people? That people must be impressed by me, by my bayan, by my dressing, by how I walk, how I talk, how I sit, all my style and everything. people must talk about it, and people, that is even more, much more dangerous. So therefore, it's very important to take these my points into consideration. In fact, one lady, her husband had bought a car in those days when people didn't have cars. So who won't get happy? But afterwards, she said, the car came, second wife came with the car. Till we didn't have a car, nobody was interested in my husband. Now that he bought a car, now he got married to another, problem came in my life. So all these things here, they come with their baggage, and it's not everyone who can digest it. Like food, you eat and your stomach is good, strong, you digest it, no problem. But your stomach can't digest it. Now you got indigestion, you got constipation, and that leads to many other illnesses. And that one thing we may forgot to mention, that with our eating, when we were discussing, try and avoid fried things as much as possible. And today there are many alternatives, air fried also, and just baked also. And you can just spray it with olive oil, a light film, just to make you happy that it's fried. But actual fried things, doctors, one friend of mine, very many years ago, was going to a dietitian, and that dietitian told him that you people have been blessed with the most wonderful institution. She was a dietitian, and in that line, her thinking, that the institution of fasting, keeping rosas, that your Nabi has prescribed fasting for you people, that can't be anything better as far as the dietitian is concerned. And then what she added and said, that when you open your fast, from a dunya's point of view, from a health point of view, she explained, the fasting gives you so much of benefits. And there's one scientific research just recently, that how your body detoxes over the 30 days. And just by keeping roza, your body detoxes and it rejuvenates your body again. It gives you a new life again. But as she had said, when you open your roza with fried things, the amount of benefit you got in the whole day, more harm you have caused to your body. So you did that. It is like these people who go to a restaurant takeaway and they order burger and that burger and all the funny things now. But at the end, to be conscious, they say, give me Diet Coke. That is very health conscious. All the other things are all anti-health. And now one Diet Coke or Diet Sprite or whatever. Now he wants a diet thing. And also remember, the diet thing is more unhealthy than the actual thing. And the preserve, the things that they make it because to make it a diet thing, that is even more. For those people who have got diabetes, and they use artificial candrel, etc., that's more harmful than the sugar. Use sugar, use it less. Use honey, use it less. But you use this artificial things, this causes even more harm. So we should try and be careful about these things, this fried things. Try and avoid it as much as you can. Have it as little as possible. And there are enough. And the alternatives are just as good as the fried things without all those harms. Your chips, air fry them. Your samosas, air fry them. You get an air fryer and you use that. That is more than enough. And if you want to make yourself happy with artificial things, just spray it with olive oil spray you get. You just spray it with that and it will look like it's fried. And you'll make yourself happy. But you'll do yourself health-wise great, great benefit. So the whole day's rosas that you keep, the benefit that you get, now don't go, you came right till the shore and then you drowned. You swam the whole sea. Now you came to the shore and now you go and drown. You start with all your fried things, etc. And there is nothing better than khajur and water. That is the best on what you can make. And you do your body a great favor when you make. And if you want to have your fried things, etc., all the unhealthy things, the savories, have it after namaz. Make your iftari with the khajur and water. Make your maghrib, then go and have that. But if you can avoid it, much, much more better. You'll do yourself. And if you do your Ramzan properly, forget the spiritual detox. You'll do a physical and bodily detox also, properly. Our Nabi is Nabi Rahmat. And his shariat is shariat of rahmat. It's not of hardship. It is for our goodness. So Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. And then we started our talks, Mufti Muhammad, yourself and Maulana Musa, remember, try and compile all this, but on this, not all the extra things, that if whoever wants to listen to the extras, can listen to it as far as the CDs are concerned. But as far as the bayans are concerned, compile it, inshallah, for next year. And on that same lines, the intention of life, then expand on that intention of all a'mal. Then this month has become valuable because of Quran, the rights of the Quran Sharif, and all the other aspects of Quran, how valuable and how majestic and how great and the grandeur of the Quran. And our main relationship with Quran must be in this month, tilawat, and of course, amal bil Quran. And then it has made this month so beautiful. And therefore, yesterday we discussed the hadith. 2 days we discussed the hadith of the value of the month of Ramadan. And now separately we will discuss a few aspects of the rozas. And as we explained yesterday, roza is not exclusive to Ramadan. Faraz rozas are, but there are rozas out of Ramadan also. So the roza itself is a great institution. So what a combination. It is the month of Ramadan. And it is the Quran Sharif, the month of Ramadan. And then there are rozas, and if we read in Sayyakul, the second sufara where Ya Yuhalladina Amnu Kutiba Alaikum As-Siyam, in the details of that, Allah Ta'ala makes a mention of Wa Idha Sa'alaka Ibadi Anni Fa Inni Qareeb. Dua is a great speciality on this beautiful, wonderful, delicious dastarkhan of Ramzan. Dua is also there. And like we see our friends when we have a da'wah, they just sit down and their eyes have seen from this end of the dastarkhan till 10 meters away. What things have come. And I mustn't miss anything. I must make sure I get everything. So this spiritual dastarkhan, where there is biryani also, there is roast also, there are all the other wonderful, there is the chutneys also, and there are the achars also, and the papars also, and the papris also. Don't miss anything. There's a dua also. Then same in the context of this is فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Zikr also is there. So all these wonderful things which are here, and then rozas, which is also one major meal that is served. Like the main cause. Rozas are the main cause of Ramzan. So the rozas, what are their values? And then inshallah we will carry on with how to make the rozas a roza. That keeping roza, fasting is one thing, and staying hungry, a hunger strike is something else. It's not the same. Many of us, we take Ramzan like a hunger strike. That we are cross with Allah. You made rozas faraz for us. We're just going to keep the rozas. Like you're on a hunger strike or something. No, it's a great, great ni'mat. It's a great spiritual dish on this dastarkhan. It's a thing of enjoyment. And if we follow all this, we will see Ramzan will become an enjoyment and a pleasure for us. Otherwise, there are so many people who regard Ramadan as a burden for us. And not only Ramadan, every institution of deen then. Namaz, qurbani, how you will look for. Hajj, how you will look for it. Look forward to it. The tilawat of Quran Sharif, how you will look. Tahajjud, how you will look forward to it. These are all great, great bounties of Allah, which Allah has blessed us with. By no ways whatsoever. It's just looking at it, getting our perspectives in order. Just like, for example, the father orders the child to go and do some work. For the father, his work is going to get done. For the child, a big hassle, a big problem. This old man, all the time, he's got this idea today, he's got that idea tomorrow, giving us all different jobs all the time. But you get the right perspective, and you'll see what great enjoyment and benefit there is in it. So with regard to the rozas, the great value of rozas, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, my ummah were given five things for Ramadan, which were not given to anyone except for them. The one is the smell from the mouth of a fasting person is more sweeter to Allah than the fragrant smell of musk. Just imagine that person who is fasting, and where there is true love, that particular smell of that person. Every person has got a distinct features of his face. All look at Allah Ta'ala, how He has kept all us of us, two eyes, one nose, all in the same place, two cheeks, two lips, forehead, same, but everyone is different. Twins that even perhaps if the parents have difficulty making out who are they, but the parents, they know exactly. Though they are so similar, so Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, so everyone has got a distinct features. His walking style, from his walking you can make out he's this person. From his coughing, you are making namaz, somebody came two minutes later, but just by his cough, you say, oh, my brother is not here today. This is how he coughs. Or just that clearing the throat, that sign of clearing the throat, everyone's is different. So just like that, the smell of the mouth, where there is love, you will just enjoy that smell also. And for Rosa, Allah loves you. Because of your hunger, and the smell emanates from the stomach, and Allah loves that. So just imagine the fasting person, whether it's Ramzan, not Ramzan, how the smell is enjoyed by Allah Ta'ala. So the roza, how much doesn't Allah Ta'ala appreciate that roza? On their behalf, the fish in the sea seek forgiveness for the fasting person until they break their fast. All the fish and how many fish there are, they are making dua for you. That when, as long as you got your roza, how valuable is that roza? And from that try and inculcate the value of roza itself without associating it with Ramzan. Ramzan we all keep, small children cry to keep roza. Everyone, how many old people who are sickly, doctors told them, they say, old ladies also say, let the doctor say what he want to, I'm keeping my roza. How many pregnant women, doctors warn them also, danger for your child, but that love Allah has put, but try and keep the spirit out of Ramzan also. Even out of Ramzan you are fasting, the fish are making dua for you. So just how valuable isn't roza? Allah prepares and decorates a special garden in Jannat every day, and then says to it, the time is near when faithful servants shall cast aside the great trials of the world and come to you. That this is now for the Ramzurozas of Ramzan, that Allah is decorating Jannat throughout the year. And for that, we have to get up for Fajr, we have to make our namazes, guard our eyes, guard our tongues, etc. But soon, when maut comes, your maut is not a musibat. Maut is you are out of the prison. And now no more you have to get up for Fajr. If you enjoy your namaz, you will make it for pleasure. And from that also gauge that what enjoyment all the ibadat are. That there are so many buzurgs who made dua, Ya Allah, grant me to make namaz in my qabr. As enjoyment. It's not for us anymore. And you don't get sawab for it also. Sawab is still while you are living. You can make your namaz, you can make your duas in the qabr, etc. Many people are granted this. But no, it's not for us also. And it's not, no sawab for it also. But just for pleasure and enjoyment. If we can understand, we haven't got idea of enjoyment in namaz. Therefore, namaz is a duty for us. We don't see it as an enjoyment. May Allah make it that we can get this enjoyment. In this month, evil-minded shayateen are chained so as not to reach unto those evils to which they normally reach during other months besides Ramadan. And then the shayateen are changed during this month, so making it easy for us that our rozas we can make them perfect. Otherwise, we'll spoil our rozas, as it comes in one hadith which we'll discuss later. That the roza is a shield, and if you break the shield, now you can easily be attacked if you haven't got your defense. Now you are in great danger. So Rosa Allah Ta'ala made it that we can defend ourselves. And on the last night of Ramadan, they are forgiven. So the rosas of Ramadan have got their special values. And Rosa itself, just fasting, has also got a great, great value by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. The next hadith. As-siyamu junnatun ma lam yahriqha. That Rosa is a shield until you don't break your shield. You don't damage your shield. So Rosa, keep it properly, and the more detailed discussion of that we will have later inshallah. In this hadith, Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu reports, there are three people whose du'as are not rejected. The one is the fasting person until he breaks his fast. So while you got Rosa, just imagine the value of Rosa. Allah Ta'ala says, while you're in a state of Rosa, your du'as are not rejected. But really think to ourselves, who of us make du'as during the whole day? From the time our Rosa starts, Sehri is finished, our Rosa has started. It's Fajr, after Fajr. If we have some program or whatever, after that it is sleeping, then gone to business, gone to work, job, the whole day. When do we really give time? Just customary dua we might make after Farz Namaz. We just picked up our hands and very customarily we made some dua. But dua means where your heart is attached and what comes out and what you want. So the fasting person, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has blessed him that his duas are readily accepted. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, many are the ones who fast, attaining nothing thereby except hunger. That inshallah we will discuss later, that how to make our rozas actual rozas. Just one or two more hadith. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu explains, whoever eats on one day of Ramadan without a valid reason or excuse or genuine illness acceptable in Sharia shall never be able to recompensate for that day even by fasting the rest of his life. How valuable this rozas of Ramzan are. And even ulama have written that what if you didn't keep your rozah, breaking your rozah is even worse without a legitimate reason. And in any case you break your rozah, you have to keep 60 rozas in return. So yeah, if a person didn't keep rozah, he can keep rozah his whole life. It won't compensate for that rosa. You must one rosa, you keep one rosa. According to fiqh and sharia, you have done your duty, you have kept your rosa. But the benefits of it, that you cannot get. Like one buzurg who missed his namaz with jamaat, and he made it 27 times. Then he heard a voice that you have made it 27 times, because by jamaat you get the sawab 27 times more. But what about the ameen of the farishtas? When the imam says, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَضَّالِّينَ, and then ameen, where are you going to bring that ameen from? So the benefits which are in the actual rosa and in the actual month of Ramadan, from that, alhamdulillah, generally it is in the ummah that even if we go on safar, then the people still keep their rosa, unless it's really taxing. But generally the spirit is there to keep the rosa. Because if you didn't keep, you are excused. You are allowed in sharia. You are gone on a shari'i safar. You don't keep rosa. Afterwards you'll keep the qadha. But it is, you won't get the barakat of Ramadan. And also, to keep that qadha rosa is much more harder than this rosa. Yeah, in Ramzan we see small children also are eager to keep rosa. But try and keep the 6 rosas of Shawwal, then see how difficult it is. Unless for those whom Allah make it easy. Big people can't keep the 6 rosas of Shawwal. Forget other nafil rosas. They become so hard. So Ramzan rosas are the most valuable. And we should try and keep them in Ramzan. And one last one, inshallah. Thank you. So, from these ahadith that we have read, the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the person who utitu al-ilm al-awwaleen wal-akhirin, I have been given all the knowledge of the people of former times and latter times. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, most compassionate, most kind, who desired our good so much that he gave the example that people want to go and fall into the river, drown and fall and drown. I'm catching them by the waist and pulling them out. People want to fall into the fire of Jahannam, and I'm trying my utmost to save them. Eh? So this is the words of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. From that, let us realize the value of these rozas. So Allah Ta'ala has put so many things for us together. Allah Ta'ala has given us this great, valuable month, and try and place in our heart. That is what I've been trying to do in my heart. Everyone's heart comes the value of the month of Ramadan. What a great month. Then this month became valuable really by the revelation of the Quran. It made this month, the month was valuable. The Quran put 10 more stars to this month and made it even more valuable. Realize the value of the Quran Sharif. And not only for Ramadan, make it a springboard, but for the rest of our year, the rest of our lives, we engage with Quran Sharif. And then the value of this month itself, understand the value of this month. And then the value of the rozas which are in this month. Then further, one great gift Allah Ta'ala gives in this month also is the gift of dua. And as we had explained, this is such a month that during the day, the rozedar, the person who has been fasting, the fasting person's duas are accepted by Allah Ta'ala. And at night, Allah Ta'ala is telling him, asking him, what do you want? And you ask me, so your duas during the day, your duas during the night. So iftari time, also very sadly, it just comes to me, why, I don't know. But I notice that many of our satis, iftari time also know bismillah. We're making dua before iftari, we're even picking up the hands. But the minute the siren goes and that khajur goes, bismillah, we forget it. No, we should be conscious of Allah Ta'ala. And the duas of iftari time, make those duas. And alhamdulillah, it's a practice here also of all the satis. The whole ummah engages in dua. And these are those beauty amongst those beautiful scenes of the Haramain Sharifain. Makkah Sharif or Medina Sharif, the whole haram is busy in duas. The whole haram of Medina, before iftari, all are busy in duas. There is dead silence everywhere, and everyone from the heart are making dua. So these are really very special moments. So it is a time which Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. If my servants ask of me, as far as where am I, tell them I'm very close. More, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. I'm more closer to you than your jugular vein, your life vein. I'm more closer to you than your own life. So close I am to you. So, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala is so close. So from your heart, turn to Allah Ta'ala. And who hasn't got needs? And again, duas to be accepted, it's not just a casual dua, but that with that two people, alhamdulillah, I saw, there are many, many more people, you people have seen many, but whom I saw in dua, they just in a world of their own, a different world. One was Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, and one was our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim, Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahmatullah alayh. Saw them on many occasions. When they make dua, their whole body will shake. They are besides themselves. How we unfortunately, in laughter, our stomach shakes. We roll on the ground. They in dua, they are in this condition. So this is how dua should be made. It is that attachment from the heart. And really, to make dua, to make zikr, to make tilawat, all these things require strength in a person. It's not just like you are half dead and you are making your dua, half sleepy and you need strength for this year. And zikr also, if you want to make your zikr properly, with your mind also present, not when you are half sleepy, then you go and make zikr. Or not when you are very exhausted and tired, then you make zikr. No, when you, the best moments you got when you are most fresh, to give that time for your zikr. And put your heart and mind in your zikr. Your tongue also, little bit body movement also, which is required. But more your heart, your mind, you have to put it into it. You have to immerse yourself in it. Like one is, you ask for something, like these people, take a lesson from these people who do collection. When they come, they don't just say, well, if you want to give, you give us something. Or they just make a phone call. No, how they don't leave you. Beggars at the streets, especially in India and Pakistan. Yeah, the beggars, they just got their board, they stand patiently. They don't do anything. Those people won't leave you. They'll come to you, touch your head, touch your toes, go around you, walk with you. Then you feel, as Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali has written also in Islah-e-Akhlaq, your niyat, if you give that person, just say, ki ye musibat tal jaye. Okay, this person who is harassing me and is hounding me, that he'll just leave me now, you give him. You didn't give for Allah's sake. So there is a difference in there. You just gave him to get rid of him. How many of us give the collectors just to get rid of them? And one is to give for Allah Ta'ala. But anyway, these beggars, we must learn who Allah Ta'ala has declared. Ya Yuhannas, all of mankind, from Adam alayhi salam till the day of Qiyamah, Allah has addressed all. The kings are addressed in here. The most wealthiest people are addressed in here. And even the financial advisors who will teach you how to make money. And if they really knew, they themselves should, they should keep quiet. They shouldn't tell anyone else the secrets. And they make fools out of us. They take out 2,000-3,000 rand from you, we will give you advice how to make money. But if they knew, then they themselves should make money. So anyway, ya yuhannas, antumul fuqara ila Allah. O people, all of you, together, you are beggars by Allah Ta'ala. And our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explains this so beautifully. He says the professional beggar, he begs from, and he's got his professional time, official times also. From 9 to 5 is his begging time. Then finish, he puts away his begging bowl. He counts up his day's takings and he puts it away wherever he has to put it and his work is finished. But Allah said, you are the Jumla Ismiya, continuously, all of you, you are all the time beggars of Allah. Antumul Fuqara ila Allah. And just any person can understand that. It can be the greatest optician, optometrist, for his own eye safety. He is every moment dependent on Allah and need of Allah Ta'ala. The cardiologist who fixes up, so to say, so many people's hearts, but his own heart, every split second, he is dependent on Allah that his heart must function properly. Everyone, whether it's a brain surgeon, whether it's your spine surgeon, whoever, for each thing of theirs, and all of us, we are all the time dependent on Allah Ta'ala. So Allah gave us our begging bowl also. And that beggar, he puts his begging bowl on the shelf at night when he finishes his work. Our begging bowl, Allah kept it with us also. And Allah gave us our begging bowl for diverse works also. You eat your same bowl you eat from. And you have to break your bread, you use your two hands. You break your bread for everything. You want to cook, you use your two hands. You want to drive, you use your two hands. You want to beg from Allah, you use your two hands also. And you just put the two bowls together. For how many needs Allah has given us the same thing. And Allah kept it with you. You don't have to carry it your hands in a bag. They're just with you also. And whenever you need them, they are there at your service. You just use them. So when you want to beg, then you put your two hands together. Yeah, your bowl is made. In namaz, our qibla is the Kaaba. And with our chest, we must face the direction of qibla. And in dua, your qibla is the arsh of Allah. From where, that is where all the treasures are kept. So you keep your hands facing, that is your qibla. It is the arsh of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And then that beggar, his bowl is usually a nice bowl, but your bowl is completely a broken bowl. All the fingers are different sizes. The bowl is also all upside down. And it is mustahab that in dua you keep your two hands apart, slightly. So you've got a broken bowl. In other words, if Allah will put little, it will fall down from your bowl. So Allah also sees, I have to put a lot in here. In this bowl, I have to put plenty. And this is your royal bowl with which you take from the treasures of Allah tabaraka ta'ala directly. And when you have finished your begging of Allah, then you wipe your hands on your face. And your face is the most honorable part of the human being. The most honorable part is the face. So in other words, you are saying to Allah with your hand, I have received what you gave me. Wajadna ma talabna. What we asked for, we have received it. And your child is begging you for 5 rand, 10 rand, and he's begging you. And afterwards he tells you, Jazakallah abi, for the 5 rand. You still didn't give him. Now when he says, Jazakallah, how can't I now? Then you just want to give it to him now. So in the same way, when you tell Allah, I've received, how Allah is most kareem. Allah is not going to give you. Allah will give it to you. So this is this month. And when the fish are making dua for you, Allah's creation is making dua for you. Malaika are busy making dua for you. Your duas are so valuable. So this is the month for duas. We shouldn't be unmindful of duas during this month. During the day, during the night, Allah give us tawfiq. And we all have got different needs. We try all medicine, but we haven't tried the medicine of dua. This is the greatest cure. And use it. Not just casually. And also one thing I've noticed, very effective. If we've got some problem, usually when it's a major problem, you are more concerned with it. Make dua yourself also. Those who are dear to you and who have got your welfare at heart, make a point to ask them, seriously make dua. Like the children at home, I always tell them, make dua. Then I ask them, you make dua. They said, yes, what dua you made? Now they're just staring at your face. Or we just tell everyone, make dua. But how many of us make dua? And if we promise the person, it's wajib for us that we will make dua. And the easiest I saw from Qari Abdul Hamid Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was in the Kirk Street Masjid. Whenever you'd ask him to make dua, immediately he will say, Yaghfirullah lana wa lakum. May Allah forgive us and forgive you. And that is one of the greatest duas for forgiveness, because sins are causing all our problems. The minute the sins are out, Allah's rahmat starts coming. So make seriously, we all ask one another for dua, but really think who makes dua for one another. Even somebody is going for Hajj, Umrah, what can we bring for you? No, just make dua. But do we hardly think of the person. When we come and see him back home, then we remember. No, duas is a big, big business dua. But for us, we made it a insignificant and unknown business. Dua has got great, great power. At one time, one Mullah Jeevan, Rahmatullah Ali, a very great buzurg, very great alim also. At that time, they were going to build a road and it was going to pass where he was staying, his little jhompri, his little hut. And somebody informed him that they're coming now with the bulldozers. They're going to cut a freeway, highway from here. And your house is going to get demolished. So he said, oh, they're coming with all the bulldozers and the earth-moving machines and all that. And they dynamite the places and they make way for the roads and that. So he told his khadim, his servant, attendant, that bring my bulldozers also. And bring my dynamite also. He was his khadim, he knew him, what he meant by that. Not that he had any dynamites and all that. He brought his musalla, he brought his lota from where he's going to make wuzu, and he brought his miswak. And then the person who came and informed him they're going to build the road, and he ordered these dynamites of his and these bombs of his. He informed the king, you better change the direction of the road. He's got such, what are your bulldozers in front of him? And what's your dynamite in front? When he will make wudu and sit on his musalla and make dua to Allah, no khair of yours will remain. So you change the direction of your road if you want any goodness for yourself. This is dua. For those who know When in Pakistan, when America attacked Pakistan, accusing them of siding Afghanistan, when they attacked Afghanistan, that poor Afghanistan people, while living in the mountains and the deserts and that they went and blow down the Twin Towers. What they got to do? Where are these people? There's no connection whatsoever. But anyway, then they put a lot of pressure on Pakistan also. At that time, Parvez, who was the president, he also started making things tight. Bhai Abdul Wahab Saab sent him a message. Till today, I never made baddua for anyone. If you want to be the first one, it's your choice. Immediately he changed all his ideas also. On Tabligh Jamaat, he said, no more, don't keep ijtimas anymore. The situation is very critical, no ijtimas. And how big rive in ijtimas? Now they have to divide it into two sections of Pakistan. One week one section ijtima, next week another section ijtima. So he told him, if you want to, so dua is a power, which is a weapon. What a weapon we got. And no, whether you go through what security check, no security check can check this weapon and pick it up. And it's deep in your heart. And with this, all your work can get done. My brother-in-law, Maulana Abbas Zubair Ali, he heard one time, say also about dua, somebody told him, what can we bring for you? He said, just dua. He says, no, what else? He says, dua is such a thing that where he was going on a safar. That what can we do for you? He says, make dua for me. So he says, with your dua, I will go through security properly, immigration properly, check-in properly, whole flight will go properly, everything. With dua, everything will happen. And if you give me one thing, it can help me one place. You give me $100, you give me $10,000, but if there's a problem in the secure, and that $10,000 can cause my security, my problem in the security. But dua, all my work will get done. So we don't realize the value of dua. So, and the other great thing for this month, which Allah has gifted us, not just given to us, but gifted us, is zikr. And this also, alhamdulillah, in our program, we have got 2 times zikr. So zikr was also very, very important. But that also, we shouldn't do it in a half sleepy mode. We should use it in the right mode. A person bought a BM 7 series range. And then after 2 days, he phoned the company, you sold me a dead car. Bad sale. Why? What's wrong? That this car only moves in the day. When I put it in D, then day mode, it moves. And when I put it in night, N mode, then it doesn't move at all. So if we put we go into a night mode. When we're making zikr, we are sleeping. No, be in the day mode. And then he says that I stopped at a traffic light. And a person with a jalopy next to me, he said, I challenge you to a race. He says, no problem. I got a 7 series BMW. I'll race you. He put it in race mode. And when he put it in R mode, the poor chap at the back didn't exist after that. We took off at what a speed, and he went, instead of winning the race, he went right at the back. So this is when we are not in the right mode. Put ourselves in the right mode when we're making zikr. After zohar, dua. Dua is what we actually want after zohar, dua for the ummah, for ourselves, our akhirah, for all our needs, to people who are sick, people who have got problems, for all our dini institutions, our madrasas, our tablighi marakis, our jamaats that are moving, for all the whole ummah. This dua at that time, after Asma'ul Husna, and after durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those are the preliminaries, and then dua follows after taking Allah's 99 names. And then after reading durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, duas are readily accepted. So it's not a customary thing also, that dua. That dua has to come from the heart. And the zikr also, make zikr with the concentration, which inshallah Allah give us time towards the end. Every year we discuss that what our muraqabas must be when we make zikr. When we saying la ilaha, vacuuming the heart. Illallah, putting powder in the heart, putting fragrance in the heart, freshening the heart, beautifying the heart. A person who makes his zikr, one sitting of zikr, wallah, One time in front of Rauza-e Mubarak, one tawaf, not a whole seven shots, one shot. You do it properly, see what will happen. Allah is the giver and Allah is giving. Allah was the giver, is the giver, and is the only giver and will the only one who will give. But we get our act in order. We come right and then see what there is no shortage. We will be shocked at what Allah Ta'ala gives. Allah let us appreciate this month. So this month, together with the month is valuable also. The rozas are valuable also. Quran is valuable also. And then in this month, all the other ibadat of zikr also and dua also. May Allah give us tawfiq. Bring it into our lives. Value it really. And think about this. Not only we heard the bayan and then we forget completely about it. No, think about it again. Discuss it also. And then see how much benefit we will get. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله.